Welcome to the Muslim Woman in Finance podcast with your host, Lisa. Amira is not here today, but we have another co-host. We have Minna Ahmed, who is on, I believe, our second episode discussing college and college loans. Welcome, Minna.
Assalamualaikum. Thank you for having
Hey, Minna, it's been a while since we actually recorded. Our last episode was back in November, but so much has happened between November and January. We have a new administration, we have an inauguration recently, and I just want to know your thoughts on how you're doing and maybe some thoughts on, the new Madam Vice President.
Yeah, very excited for 2021. I think hopefully we'll see some new things. 2020 was definitely an unexpected year in so many ways. But it was really inspiring, I guess, to see our new vice president, woman of color, just breaking so many barriers. And it was especially, I think, on a personal level. She is a alumni of a historically Black college and university, the HBCU. And so just, so my husband went to one of those too, and I have a very an affinity towards them. So to kind of see her and her university take front stage was just kind of really warmed my heart to see that.
Do you think she'll make a difference?
So, I try not to get caught up in sort of people. I think our religion allows us to really know that Allah is in control, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so I try not to say, this one person's going to make a huge impact, it's going to change everything, because obviously everything is in Allah's hands. But I do think there is something to say about her pushing the needle forward in terms of women in positions of power. I do think that that is it's a great step forward for our country. So yeah, in a sense, I do think it's meaningful, it's powerful, and I do think it does bring about some sort of change, and it kind of changes the conversations. How about you? Are you, what are your, what is sort of your thoughts?
Yeah, definitely her identity as a Black and Asian American, it affects multiple groups and seeing how little kids watching her on TV, watching her speak and learning about her background is important. It's important to identify with someone else, especially when they're in that high position of power. You can see a reflection of yourself and you can see, wow, I can do that too. She's doing that. And for me, I really like hearing her talk about her mom because I feel like her mom reminds me a lot of my mom, having a working mother who is striving to be successful and make the best for her family is such It's such an important story to see play out. And, she grew up with a single mother. And I just feel like, wow, that's so deep to see her experiences and to hear her talk about her mom. That really resonated with me a lot. So I'm hopeful. And yes, I believe in optimism. I believe that Islam is, from an Islamic perspective, I can see how this is. It's beautiful. And, if you were made mistakes in the past, you always have moments in time where you can change things. So I'm hopeful and optimistic. And I really do hope, no pressure for her. But yeah, this is obviously a lot of pressure for her because she's a first. And so, yeah, all eyes are going to be on her. And I just hope, I hope that we all can learn from this.
Yeah, definitely. I like what you said about story. In her story is so many stories that we have not really heard and seen, I think, on such a huge platform. And so that's why I think a lot of different parts of her resonate with so many different people in terms of being an immigrant, woman of color, just being a woman, you know, just all these different things. I think that's what I really like about her story, is that it encompasses so many of our stories.
Yeah, and she didn't have control over her identity, obviously. You know what I mean? Like, she does have a very unique story, and she brings something new to the table that no one has ever seen before. You know, these roles of power have longly been held by men, particularly white men. So I'm excited. I'm excited to see how everything folds out. And I hope with her experiences and her identity and her family and friends, I hope, you know, she can bring that to the table and make change. Okay, I wanted to dive into our topic today. It's about budgeting. And so that's probably one of the fundamental steps in personal finance, evaluating your spending and where you are spending and how you can, you know, modify your budget to help move your goals forward. And so I know that you, Minna, you had a social media account with a following in regards to paying off your student loans. I'm curious if budgeting was a big step in paying off your student loans.
Oh, definitely. I think budgeting is like the foundation. It's like the cornerstone of any personal finance. Like, you cannot talk about anything if you are not aware of what's coming in and what's coming out and sort of making a plan for it. So any, you know, no matter how small or big, any kind of financial goals that you might have, or even if it's just to make ends meet, or, you know, get into a better place, that's step number one is always, I think, is budget. Like, budget. It's so critical. Because you really can't get a sense of the picture of what you're dealing with, or you can't make a plan for anything if you don't have the pieces of the puzzle together in a way that that can inform your decisions on how you make, you know, how you spend your money. And I think when I first started out, you know, looking at my personal finance, I had no concept of what a budget was, because it wasn't, and it's not something I think, you know, it's introduced early, you know, it's not like a part of the subject in school or anything like that. A lot of people I feel are, you know, getting, you know, coming, trying to come up with it on their own. And so in that, you know, there's a lot of, you know, ups and downs, mistakes that are made. But still, I think it's just such a crucial step that everybody should have a budget.
Yes, and it's basically just creating, whether it's a spreadsheet or just a piece of paper with a bunch of rows and columns, or using an app, just a way to break down your spending into categories and what's you know, being taken out of your income, your assets. And before that, understanding, you know, what kind of income is coming into my house, whether it's a paid job or side jobs, or, you know, allowances from the parents, whatever it is, how much is coming in. And then budgeting helps you realize what is going out and what categories is the money going out to. So did you just use, you know, pencil and paper, or did you actually use an app or Excel spreadsheet to help you budget?
I began with Excel spreadsheets when I first started out. And I think in the beginning, kind of what prompted me to do it was, you know, my first work study jobs as a college student. So finally having sort of a paycheck coming in every 2 weeks and knowing, oh, I have certain bills that are going out. And so I need to know exactly when I'm supposed to pay what. So I think I just, my first attempt was just listing of when things were due and how much things were due. And so that kind of was like what I thought was a budget for a while, until I realized after a while, I'm like, no, this is just a list of expenses. Like, I don't really have, this is not really a budget. So kind of learning, okay, so that's a start, but there's other categories and other steps I need to take in. To really make my budget inform my decisions, and not just, you know, to make it really useful.
Right, because you're just tracking how much you're spending, but you're not really digging deep into, okay, why am I spending this much in this category? Whether it's groceries, whether it's transportation, whether it's miscellaneous like clothes, or gifts or things of that nature, and just really diving deep into, okay, what is going on here? And what I like is when people start doing this, okay, I have to start a budget, they kind of get a little bit nervous. But for me, I think the easiest way is to track it by month and then step back and see what happened. So, get a monthly budget together. You're going to track daily spending. Every day, what am I spending? What time was it on? What was the spending on? And then, when the month is over or the 30 days is over, it doesn't have to be at the beginning of the month. You kind of step back and you look at, oh, it looks like I buy coffee every day at the coffee shop, or I'm snacking at this time every day. I'm going to the vending machine, for example, or I'm going, snacking on a particular item that may or may not be good for me. Things of that nature. And so, did you ever do something like that where you took a snapshot of the daily spending and then you could make an assessment of what was going on?
Yeah, so I use actually the mint.com. I really liked that option where I could really look at 3 months. I went 3 months back because it really gave me more of a picture. Because sometimes 1 month can be really unique and you can spend something, something could come up, but it's really not something that you spend every month. So I like looking at it. Over 3 months, and mint.com just allowed me to instead of having to manually track it, which there is benefits to that, but as a working mom, I was just like, no, I just want to kind of get a sense. So just using that, I was able to look back over 3 months and see exactly, and it'll sort it into categories, and I can review it and see, okay, I'm spending this much on groceries, this much on that, et cetera, so that I could use those figures to see, okay, is this a good amount? Am I comfortable in spending this amount on that topic or on that, item? Or do I feel like I need to do more or less? It kind of gave me the power to really examine, examine exactly what I was using and spending over those 3 months.
I did use Mint, and I used it a long time ago because it's been around for a while. So I did use that, and then I stopped using it because then I kind of just relied on my major bank account. Like the major banks, they also have a way where you can see your spending, and they do have like a nice pie chart with different colors assigned to the spending categories. So I just kind of depended on that. And it's interesting to see that. And I liked how you did the quarterly. You kind of did like a quarterly evaluation of what how your spending was. And yes, each month is different because sometimes families spend a lot during Ramadan because everyone's home eating iftar. Now with the pandemic, a lot of the kids are home, so there seems to be a lot more spending with the food because kids are just, for some reason, they're home, so they're always hungry. They're very comfortable, always asking for food at all these different times compared to having a set schedule at school. So Mint taught me a lot, but I felt like I was just kind of tracking the categories with that. And so I'm actually more of a pen to paper person where I make my own chart and I do it that way. And yeah, there's just a lot of costs. I mean, if you are just a regular family, you have you own your home, your kids are in school, they have activities, a lot of things add up. And I think the thing with the monthly or the quarterly spending is you can take a step back and kind of figure out what is going on. And you can learn a lot about psychology too, I think, with the spending. How often are you going to TJ Maxx? Are you doing online shopping? And what exactly you're bringing into the house? Do you have any comments regarding that?
For sure, yeah. So, I'm the same way. Kind of, I use Google Sheets. sort of like the Excel, the Google online to help me track, to actually do a budget. Because I feel like the apps are really good at kind of showing you what you've spent and kind of giving you the historical data. But in terms of actually budgeting, I find it, I enjoy an actual sort of spreadsheet line by line, doing it that way. And yeah, I've noticed, I mean, it's just, there's things change so much. Like for instance, I've known now, since we're not going anywhere, our gas budget has definitely decreased. And also our insurance premiums have gone down. You know, but our food is just astronomical. Like I can't seem to get that, you know, under wraps. What the, so typically, especially when I was paying off debt, I was using a zero-based budget. So that's basically you want everything, you're putting everything in your budget so that your income and your expenses comes down to zero. And I think that's one of the most common types of budgeting. You know, there's some other types, but I think that one is kind of the most easiest and it sort of makes sense for a lot of people. And so especially when I was in the throes of paying off debt, I really liked that budget because I could plan out everything. And then, you know, whatever was left over, that was kind of how that amount, whatever, I could throw that into debt. And it was just a great way to sort of plan out, you know, our paychecks to kind of hit our goals that way. Do you have a favorite type of budget you use, or are you also like zero based?
I would say I'm a bit zero based. But I want my, now in this stage of my life, I think I want every dollar working for me. I think that's how I go about now. Like if it's just sitting around collecting dust, it needs to go for savings or it needs to grow somehow. I'm being really intentional and mindful of where the spending is going because my kids are always talking about the latest craze and the latest toy. And it's just not like, I just cannot, it's hard for me to allocate money to that. I know they're growing up. I have to create memories, but it's just really hard because I notice that there's just a lot of things in their room that they're not even touching and it becomes a cycle of waste and spending. So I've been just a bit intentional, like, you know, kids, if you want something, something has to leave the house. As far as eating, I'm really intentional about, okay, am I going to eat this? And, you know, is it healthy for me? Or else I'm just going to debate of whether or not I'm going to bring it in the house. And also I do the pantry shopping and fixing up before the grocery shopping, because if there's things that are kind of out of reach and no one's eating that, that's a problem. If there's things that are old and need to be thrown out, that's an issue too. And kind of do that because we do the weekly. I honestly think because of the pandemic and everyone being home, we're doing grocery shopping about twice a week now. And the kids are just seem like they're hungry all day long. So that has been a challenge to kind of see where's every dollar going in that sense. But I think for us, you know, our utility bill has gone up and our grocery bill has gone up.
Yeah, I definitely see the electricity bill as well. So are you, do you track every single expense then?
I'm mindful about it because there are times where, like, you know, we just moved. So the spending went up a lot because there were a lot of things we had to, like a lot of old furniture had to be donated or thrown out and then new furniture had to come in the house. So definitely within the last, when we first moved, within those first 3 to 4 months, there was a lot of spending into trying to get our household situated. But those were like one-time spending. You know, it's like furniture I'm buying one time and I'm probably not going to replace for another 5 to 10 years. But definitely, you know, you have to budget that in, right? You have to make sure you have enough money to cover that. And I'm just being mindful, like, you know, do we really need something or is it something like, can I wait 5 months and get it? Or can I just evaluate a year later if I need it? Things of that nature. But some things we needed to get installed in our home to make sure like the electrical was running, that they put in the right socket and all that stuff. So yeah, we really had to just be mindful of what was coming in if we had enough to cover those charges. But I'm being more mindful of, the first of every month, putting things in savings first, paying myself first, because I never really did that before. I was always just kind of covering everybody else's stuff and I was putting myself last, or I never did anything for myself, whether it was retirement or savings. So now I'm really, really forcing money to go into for retirement and savings first, and then working on the other things. And we have a goal to pay off our home within the next 2 to 3 years. So, inshallah, when that payment is gone, we'll have more money for savings and retirement. So, I am going about with every dollar needs to have a home, every dollar needs to work for me, and really evaluating needs and wants. Because with advertising and just everyone is telling you that you need their stuff, but no one is telling you that you need to also work for yourself so that you're not working for the rest of your life. So I'm wondering if you have also come across those thoughts.
Oh yeah, it's definitely a constant sort of struggle between like the marketing machines, the advertising giants, and our actual life and what we actually need in living a simple life. I think that that's yeah, it's a constant struggle. And we're sort of a similar in kind of places where right now we're really focusing on retirement savings and college savings. And so, as in the past, I was very much focused on, every dollar, sending that to debt. Now we have it set up where, we're saving first, and then now we can not so much track every dollar, but know that, okay, this is how much money we have in general, already put money away in our savings so that we know that that's the first thing we do. So we're focusing on that first, and then we have a little bit of wiggle room on what we spend, but we know this is the pocket of money that we have. So if we go over a little bit in groceries, it's okay, as long as we go under in gas or something like that. So a little bit more variation because we've paid off our house, so it's just a little bit more wiggle room there. But yeah, definitely focusing on making sure we hit those savings first, the retirement accounts first, college savings next, and then short-term sort of saving goals. So yeah, but all possible because we have budgets, right? And able to know what we have coming in and making those decisions on what we're doing with them, which is basically what a budget is, is knowing what's coming in, and deciding where the what goes out when and how much. And really prioritizing what goals that you have going on.
Yeah, there was this major bank that came out that really there was a lot of heated debate and argument about this because I think on their social media account, one way they were encouraging people to save was to eliminate the toast and avocado and egg breakfast and coffee every morning and things of that nature. And a lot of people got upset about this major bank giving that type of advice because, again, I mean, people are human and they need to run on breakfast. Some people are just used to coffee and that kind of helps them start their day and continue their 9 to 5 job. And, I think the argument was, well, instead of telling people to cut spending so they can make their payments on time, why don't you let go of high fees? Why don't you be more lenient to your customers who are going through problems, especially financial problems with this pandemic where people are losing their jobs and things of that nature. So I'm curious to see what you think of a situation like that.
Yeah, so I have a funny anecdote. So when I was trying to pay off debt, student loan debt, car loan debt, like I was super laser focused on getting rid of debt because I just wanted it gone, couldn't stand it. So I would create a budget, And I would, try to get my husband on board, and he was just not having it. Like, he was just like, I don't want to hear about it. The word budget, like, I'm not for, I worked too hard in school to be like on a budget. So very, he was not feeling it at all. Authors, there's a whole thing called the latte effect where, you spend money on a latte that could be X, Y amount of dollars later on, et cetera. And so hearing that, I'm trying to cut out everything and he's not having it at all. So there's got to be some compromise, and you have to make sure that, you can set up a lofty budget, but it has to really speak to the way your family operates. And yeah, like, you could cut out everything and you could do a no spending year and all that stuff, but if that's not going to set you up for success long term, it could backfire. And so what I ended up doing was, I kind of looking through Mint, I would see, okay, my husband would spend about $10 a day on lunch. He's not going to Brand Baggot. That's just not, it's not what he's going to do. So I put that in the budget. So that was, he had a line in the budget, lunches out while working. And that just was less money we could put towards debt, but it was a priority to, make our marriage work better and kind of, keep the peace almost. So when I see things like, you have to cut out a certain item, you can't do this, I think your budget has to really speak to your family needs and be holistic. Yeah, when I was paying off debt, there were things I could have cut out. But overall, especially if you're on a long-term scale, like, you're paying debt over like 3 years or 5 years, you really have to figure out what's going to be sustainable. And and I feel like there's a lot of sort of shaming that happens around what people decide to choose and spend their money on. Just because something is not important to one person doesn't mean it's not important to another person. So yeah, like you said, getting that Starbucks every morning or whatever, that could be what that person puts in their budget, but they don't have something like, clothes. Their clothing budget might be really small. So it just, the numbers have to work for you and have to work for the goals that you set. And so I don't really think it's helpful for people to say what they should or should not put in their budget, as long as it's they're hitting their goals at a pace that they want to. I think that's what's most important.
Yeah, and people need wins. They need the wins to help them feel better. Mental health is a huge category of talk these days. There's a lot of conversation around it because if you're not feeling your best, if you're being shamed or put down, it's hard to maneuver through life and go through the daily, day-to-day tasks doing that, especially at the workplace or just being a mom at home, for example. So I do think it was a bit tacky of a major bank that has millions and millions and millions of dollars to say something like that to everyday people who I think for the most part are working really hard. But then there's just got to be another way of having this conversation in regards to budgeting and spending. And yes, I think, telling people what to spend on is a bit too much because everyone's household is so unique and everyone needs different things. But I do want to mention something. We have this like idea of the American dream, the house with the picket fence, the home, the single family home with the two cars, the pets, the soccer mom, baseball mom kind of thing. Do you think that plays into effect in how people spend?
Oh yeah, I definitely think that people th there's ideas of what success looks like, and so and it's predicated on a lot of monetary, material things. Not that they're bad necessarily, but there's definitely a an influence, I should say, that, or just kind of the sentiment that at certain points of your life, you should have certain material things. And that could cause people to purchase things that they can't afford or make decisions that aren't necessarily good for them in the long term. And so I know on a personal level, you know, we sort of went back and forth about our home and upgrading cars and just different things like that, that we kind of always, every time, you know, someone else is, you know, get the new luxury car, we're like, oh, you know, why, you know, those thoughts just come in, like, I should have that, my kids should have, et cetera, et cetera. And you just really have to kind of, it's so, I feel like it's really pervasive, and you really have to kind of work hard to be like, okay, no, this is what my friends, this is what my family needs. This is what's important to us. And this is where we're going to put our priorities in. And you know, my priorities might be different than others. But you just really have to know what your financial goals are and what you want to accomplish with your money. And whatever that is, you know, no shame in the choices that other messages and so many feelings. And, you know, you go to the masjid and certain people have certain things. And I feel like there is this kind of underline of, you know, one-upness, I guess you say, you know, it's not, I don't think it's really in your face, but I think it's definitely there, the comparison kind of game.
Yeah, you know, like messages like FOMO or YOLO or things of that nature, and people can feel left out when they don't have the same things that everyone else has, especially children. And then, you know, advertising doesn't help either, because there's always a new shiny gadget that's being introduced every 12 months or so. And, you know, people want the latest and greatest. And I get that some people have really high incomes where that just doesn't mean anything to them. We're like, they can buy whatever they want and they're not really worried about budgeting or tracking and things of that nature. But I think for most of the working and middle class, you just have to be a little bit mindful. And it's not to say don't have nice things, but it's just, you know, be mindful of your situation, because if things get out of control, you know, who is going to be there to bail you out? You know, and that's why there is that danger. And I think just be mindful of who you hang out with. You know, if things get too much for you, where you're like, well, everybody is living this certain lifestyle and I'm not that kind of person, you can reevaluate those relationships and just really protect yourself moving forward.
Yeah, I feel like there's even, I'm going to butcher it, but I think there's even a hadith that says that it's more valuable for you to have to accompany those that are not as wealthy as you are. Because if you do, the ones, you know, that are more wealthy, you're always going to be like, oh, I want that, or I wish I had that. There's always going to be, what you say, like that fear of missing out, or just the comparing, keeping up with the Joneses. Whereas if you are around those who are striving to, you know, who are at, you know, at a different level, it'll bring across feelings of gratitude and wanting to support and help others. So I try to always keep that in mind. I mean, obviously, it's really hard to sort of, you know, you're around people that you're around. It is kind of hard to control that. But I just try to think of that as sort of an overall sentiment. Like, we have to know that no matter where we are, there's always going to be those that are less fortunate than us and those that are going to be more fortunate than us. Just in the nature of, you know, Allah says that he gives and he withholds, and that's up to him. And so just knowing that, try to keep that in mind in terms of when we see others and what Allah has blessed them with. It is hard, and I'm not saying that it's not, but just remembering that Allah has definitely given us what he has given us. And it's, you know, we need to focus on that instead of focusing on, you know, outwards on what others have.
Yes. And one thing I just want to conclude with is, I know a big part of our budget was including tzedakah and just being really mindful of how we do that. And I kind of look to the day of Jummah as our tzedakah day. And I know before when we were going to masjid for Jummah, you know, I'd have my kids, you know, give them some change so they could put in the tzedakah jar. You know, we're not doing that these days, but tzedakah is another category that I've included. And it's really important to me to keep up with it. But Minna, thank you so much. Do you have any concluding comments?
It's budgeting is just really so important. And it's not also just kind of something that you do once and then that's your budget for the rest of your life. It's a living document. I refer back to budget constantly, just kind of remembering that, it takes practice to get one that really works. I would say give it, if you're starting out, give it like 3 months just to know that it's going to take a while to kind of get your spending and your budgets aligned. And don't just like, okay, I'm done. Just know that you'll constantly have to like go back to the budgets and always check in with your spending.
Yes, I agree with you, Mena. Thank you so much for having this conversation with me.
We want to take this opportunity to thank each and every one of you for taking the time out of your day to listen to our show. Feel free to reach out to us at MuslimWomenInFinance@gmail.com with any thoughts, comments, feedback, or questions. We would love to hear from you. And you can also find us on Instagram at hashed.fine, F-I-N, and at Amira E, and join the Facebook group Muslim Women and Finance. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and please leave us a rating and review. Thank you.